Good morning, everyone.
Okay, ready? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, God, for this beautiful morning. We thank you for the great privilege we have of gathering in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for our church family. Thank you for the way, God, that you've surrounded us with love and friendship and encouragement. Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers. We're thankful for the good news that gets shared with us. We're so thankful, God, for Carol's good news this morning. We thank you, Father. She woke up without pain. And we know, God, that that's answered prayer. And we pray, Father, you'll continue to protect her from that back pain and continue to give her strength. And Father, we thank you that we can cast all our cares on you. We don't have to be weighed down, God, but we can run this race free, trusting things to you, knowing that you care for us. And we thank you for taking care of Gary. Father, we thank you for carrying him this far through this process. And we pray, Father, you'll continue to bless his treatments. We pray that you'll bless his transplant. And we pray, God, you'll give him a smooth recovery. We pray that his body will be free of the leukemia. And we pray, God, you'll bless his family through the next few months with the big changes that are coming. Please give them what they need. Father, we pray you'll bless little Timmy. Father, we pray that you would heal his stomach issues. We pray that you would heal whatever's taking place with his liver. And Father, we pray that you'll protect him from pain. And we do pray, God, that you would give the doctors the answers to what is causing these things. Father, we want to lift up a prayer for the house that's for sale next door. We pray, God, that you give our church wisdom in the decisions that we make. Please guide us, Lord, and help us to do your will in all things. And if it's something we should do, I pray you'll make it clear. And if the house is for someone else, Lord, we pray that that we would be able to minister to them. And Father, we want to pray for Michael, injured hiking, Lord, and dealing with that injury for so long. It's really caused him to be cast down. But we pray, Father, you'll help him to lift his eyes to you, to not only to find grace, but to find peace, to find strength, God, and to find encouragement. We just pray that he would cry out to you, God, for all that he needs. We want to pray for Charlie. Father, we pray that you'll deliver him from this pain that's in his hands and wrists. We pray, Father, for Bailey dealing with trouble again. God, we pray that that through this you would help him to come to you and to surrender to you so that his life would be turned around. As Pastor mentioned this morning, God, that he would be saved by grace through faith, and then that faith would be revealed in his new life. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for rescuing each of us from the life of trouble that we were getting ourselves into. Thank you for making us new, giving us purpose and hope through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your great love for us. Mm-hmm. And thank you for this time to study your word together. Father, please teach us. We need you to teach us. We need you to give us the mind of Christ, so that we can understand. Please bless this time as we study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's get right to it. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2. We busted into the book of Proverbs last week. Did one verse. But we're going to read 2 through 7 today. Take an extra big step. Okay, we studied verse 1 last week. This is the Proverbs of Solomon. And verse 2 through 7 give us some of the purpose of Proverbs. It says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Have you ever known anyone? I've known someone very personal, that is myself, who was just unwilling to learn from their mistakes. That's what a fool does. All right, let's take a look at verse 2. The purpose of the Proverbs, to know wisdom and instruction. Now, to know means more than just to take in information, okay? To know means to take in information and act on it. I mean, how can you say you know something if you don't put it into action, right? If you know it, you'll act on it. And to know wisdom and instruction is this word here, to know, it's a continuous act. So I don't want you to think that you come to a place where you say, okay, now I know. Now I know wisdom and instruction. This is a continuous act, meaning that this is a lifelong journey. The learning never stops. Growing in wisdom never stops. Applying wisdom to our life never stops. We got to continue to grow. And it really is true that when you think you know it all, that is when you are in a place of danger. The learning never stops. To know wisdom. What is wisdom? I was working really hard to try to come up with a definition. Wisdom, by looking up different things. But very simply put, I think wisdom is the God-given ability to navigate the Christian life. It's a God-given ability. You're not born with wisdom. You have to learn wisdom. You have to be taught wisdom. You have to be corrected. You have to be disciplined. Character has to be built. You're not born wise. Actually, the proverb says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction drives it far from him. You have to be corrected. It's a God-given ability, and that's what God does. Okay, when God is teaching us wisdom, do you know what he's actually doing? He's correcting us. He's correcting our thinking. Wisdom is God directing our steps. He's correcting our thinking, and he's directing our steps. That's wisdom. He's given us the ability to navigate life. In fact, I've been working on the Ecclesiastes for the youth night services, and I remember reading in Ecclesiastes 7:5, you know, it was written by the same guy, just at a different period in his life, after he had shipwrecked himself. Ecclesiastes 7:5 says, "It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools." And when I was studying that, someone put that so plainly when they said, "A wise man wants to be corrected. A fool wants to be entertained." A wise man wants to be corrected. I want to know how to do life the way God wants me to. That's what instruction means. To know wisdom and instruction. Instruction is discipline. You've heard the word discipline used that way. Like when someone's learning karate or something, they call it a discipline. It's an instruction. It's learning. It's education. So that's what these proverbs are supposed to do for us. They're to teach us wisdom and instruction. They're to correct us and educate us. When we come to God's Word, this should always be our attitude. Our attitude should be not, okay, I'm reading this again, I've already read this 10 times, I don't see what the big deal is. When we come to God's Word, it should be that, okay, the attitude should be this: God, I'm ready to be corrected. I'm ready to be corrected. I'm ready to learn. I'm ready to be disciplined even, if it's necessary. Discipline is never fun when it's happening, but it's good for you. It's good for you. So to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. This is to give us insight. To perceive the words of understanding is insight. To be able to analyze things. To be able to think. It's a big problem we got today. People don't think. They have the craziest ideas, the craziest notions about everything. But obviously they don't think them through because they're illogical. What God's Word does is teaches us to think things through. If I do this, okay, I'm faced with a challenge, okay? Okay, I can do it this way, but if I do, God will not bless it. I can do it this way, and if I do, God will bless it. That that's helped you analyze things. Helps you make decisions. When I was studying, there were a few examples brought to my attention. One would be the temptation to lie to gain money. The temptation to lie to gain money. And sometimes it's very subtle. It seems like it's not a big deal. Well, if I just say this, no one's really going to get hurt. It doesn't really bother. It's not really going to change things much. And I will come out ahead. That's the temptation. But what Proverbs does and what God's Word does is helps you to analyze that deeper than that. For example, if you turn to a Proverbs chapter 10, verse 2 and 3, here's an analysis of that decision that I just presented to you. So Proverbs 10, 2 and 3 says, "Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire of the wicked." Okay, so if you're analyzing the situation and you're thinking it through, the truth is, if I lie to gain this extra money, the Bible says I'm not really gaining anything. Actually, I'm losing. I'm losing. Because God will not bless it. Okay, but if I do it the right way, if I do it the way God wants, then I'm gaining something. I was just thinking about the dude this week with this guy stopped me when I was delivering the mail. And my first thought was, oh great, what does he want? You guys do it too.
I can't believe you do that.
I'm trying to get something done here. But they, you know, he pulls his car in front. We're like facing each other. I can't go nowhere. And I'm like, oh boy, what's this about? Well, I get out to meet him, and he, as he's coming toward me, he pulls out his wallet, and he starts digging through his bills, and he gives me a Christmas tip.
Oh, nice.
So first of all, I felt bad for being upset that he stopped me. But then he was asking me about something that he was waiting for in the mail, and I said, well, let's go check and see what you got. And I found it for him, and he walked away and was happy. And I got in the truck, and I looked down, and he had given me a $50 bill.
Oh, nice.
And instantly I knew that wasn't right. You know, I'm a good mailman, but... yeah, no... You don't give the man like $50, okay? And I was praising God after this. It was so amazing because I didn't even think. I looked down and I said, oh, this ain't right. And I ran back. And I said, I don't think you meant to... He was digging in his wallet as he was walking up. I said, I don't think you meant to give me this. And I showed him and he goes, ooh. So he switched it with a 20. That's what he meant to grab. And just afterward, I was just sitting there thinking about that. Like, what an awesome blessing to me. To see God, how God has changed my life, and how I don't care about money, and I didn't even think for a second, you know what, I'm going to keep this 50. And then I started thinking, you know, what a witness to that guy. Oh, I was so blessed. And I was blessed more by taking less, because I did it right. Isn't that cool? I was so blessed. Yeah. And if someone, and if when you do the right thing and they decide, you know, they're going to just give you whatever, that's on them. Mm-hmm. That's on them, but you do the right thing. Proverbs 13:11 says, wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished. Wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. You earn what God has given you through your work. When you step outside of God's will to try to gain for yourself, you lose. But when you do things right in the will of God, you gain. You have to be able to analyze situations like that. That's wisdom. That's what Solomon is saying. There was a couple other examples I came across that I thought were interesting. Proverbs 11:22 says, "As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion." Remember we were talking on Wednesday night with the youth about... how it's more important to beautify yourself on the inside than to beautify yourself on the outside. And for the men, you know, men are led so much by their eyes, okay, that they want to overlook the fact that although a woman is pretty, she can be wicked, and men get themselves into trouble. As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. And a man needs to be able to think that through You have to be able to think things through, not just live by the moment, the immediate gratification. You have to analyze, think. There was another one, 11:16. A gracious woman retains honor, but ruthless... Now, my Bible inserts the word men there. But ruthless men retain riches. The example I was reading about, this guy was saying this whole women's liberation movement has missed what God has said about the way a woman should act. It says a gracious woman retains honor, not a bully. Yeah, you have to be able to analyze these things and think them through biblically. That's why we have this wisdom given to us. Okay, let's see, back in Proverbs 1, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of the understanding, to think, to analyze, to have insight. Verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. That's an important word there in verse 3. To receive, you have to, in order for this to work, you have to receive it. God does not just, well, he did this for Solomon when he asked for wisdom, but Solomon was the only one. And I do think, you know, Solomon got himself into trouble. You want to know why I think that happened? He stopped reading his Bible. One of the rules for the king, and I think it's in Deuteronomy 17, that you're supposed to make a copy of the Bible for yourself and read it every day so that you don't, so that you continue to fear the Lord and you don't lift yourself up above other people. And Solomon forgot, and I think that's why he got himself into trouble. Because there was a time when he loved the Lord, we read about that last week, and then he fell in love with women instead. So how did he get off track? I think it's because he stopped receiving wisdom. He stopped receiving wisdom. That's what verse 3 says, to receive it. You have to take it in. God, you can't just ignore the Word of God and think that God's just going to download wisdom to you for every decision you make. That's not how it works. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, he says, my son, if you receive my words, treasure my commands within you. And now look at all these action words here. Receive my words, treasure my commands. Verse 2, so that you incline your ear to wisdom. Apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver, search for her as for hidden treasure. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. But you see all those actions in there? You got to put forth effort to receive the wisdom of God. It doesn't just happen. You have to receive it. I put another verse down here. It must be for a good reason. Jeremiah 32:33. God says, and they have turned to me the back and not the face. Though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not listened to receive instruction. That's why I put it down. For that word receive, you have to receive it. They did not receive it. Even though God was speaking, they weren't listening. And your Bible is God speaking, but you have to listen. Yes?
Dr. Charles Stanley talked about wisdom a lot, and he always said that if a man could go in, or a person could go in and have a doctorate degree and not be as wise as the person that read the Bible, that's the place you get wisdom. Not through school, not through education, not how much education you have or whatever. It is only through the scriptures you get receive wisdom.
You can get knowledge,
but not wisdom.
But not wisdom. You can get knowledge about a certain topic. You can know everything there is to know about automobiles and be the greatest mechanic that ever lived, and you can be a fool, right? Because we're talking about being able to navigate life in a godly way. And fools can't do that. They don't have the wisdom of God. You ever had the feeling at church that you are the one being talked about? Like God is talking to you? Pastor's calling you out in front of everyone even though no one knows your little secret? That's the idea here. That God is speaking to you and you have to be willing to receive it. I think he's talking about me. You have to receive the instruction of wisdom. You got to receive the instruction of wisdom so that you understand justice and judgment and equity. Now, these three words are all very similar, but justice is morally right, doing what's morally right. Judgment is standing on God's side of the issue, being able to discern right and wrong, make judgments. You're supposed to make those. And equity is similar to judgment. Equity, you know, fairness. But equity is aligning yourself with God. Aligning yourself with God. See, this thing that people talk about today that they call equity is not equity. What they want is unfair. Because really they want to take away from someone else so that they can have what they want. That's not equity. No one's more fair than God. Believe that. In fact, God was accused of being unfair. I'm sure he gets accused of being unfair all the day. But I have an example for you. Ezekiel chapter 18. Let's start at verse 20. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. But if a wicked man turns from all his sins, which he has committed, keeps all my statutes, and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of the transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him. Because of the righteousness which he has done, he shall live. Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should turn from his ways and live? But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. Because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed, because of them he shall die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not fair. Hear now, O house of Israel, is it not my way which is fair, and your ways which are not fair? No one's more fair than God. Everybody has the same opportunity to turn and live. Nothing more fair than that. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus died for all. Nothing more fair than that. Okay, Proverbs 1, verse 4, to give prudence to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. The simple is the naive, the gullible, the person with the open mind who believes anything. That's the simple, to believe anything. Proverbs 14:15. See, we can read a bunch of these because we won't be there for years. Proverbs 14:15 says, the simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. He thinks before he acts. But the simple believes everything. I saw something this week, unreal. You know how I talk about if someone is filled with the Spirit of God, okay, they exalt Christ. They lift up Christ. They don't lift up the Holy Spirit. And I actually heard a guy preaching this week, and he said that as you grow, you get less Christ-centered and more Spirit-centered. And he, oh man, it was ugly, wasn't it? And he said, he tried to prove himself by saying, well, don't you know the Bible says it's not the gifts of Jesus, it's the gifts of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of Jesus, it's the fruit of the Spirit. Just kicking Jesus.
It's not Jesus that condemns and convicts.
Jesus doesn't condemn. The Spirit condemns. Yeah. Ugly. Ugly. And ugly, blasphemous.
Can you tell us who that is?
Rebuke of Jesus Christ. Well, I know the video, I saw it on Justin Peters Ministries. Justin Peters is a good guy. They were talking about this video. And I couldn't believe it. But the Holy Spirit doesn't do that. That was not the Holy Spirit. That was Satan talking bad about Christ. Ugly. And the people, the reason I bring it up, the simple, they believe everything. The whole crowd just cheering and hollering like something profound is being said when Jesus is being mocked right in front of their face. The simple believes every word. And by the way, I just want to say this again. When we worship, when we pray, when we meditate, we do not turn off our brain. You think about what you're singing. You think about what you're praying. You think about what you're meditating on. You think about what you're thinking about so that you make sure it's right. You don't just shut your brain off when you come to church and let go and let whatever float through your heart and mind you want. That's it. That's foolish. You got to think things through. That's why God gave you a brain.
good example that's as simple as what these people are believing about what's going on over in Israel. Mm. All these protesters.
Yeah, yeah.
They're all simple.
Yep, people on the side of terrorists who are...
They believe whatever they hear.
Yep, and that is a problem with the education system. They don't teach people to think. Yeah, they tell them what to think, and whoever, their parents or whatever, just tell them to trust them, and they just believe everything they hear.
We pay good money, must be right.
And they get brainwashed. You ever come across this before and after pictures of college students? You ever seen it, Kaylee? You seen that thing? I've seen this. I don't know, maybe, I don't have TikTok or anything, but it was kind of like that video quick. They look normal before college, and when they came out, they looked crazy. It's scary. Okay, the simple. To give prudence to the simple. See, that's what wisdom is about. We don't want to be naive, gullible. Many times the Apostle Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant. To give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. To the young man, meaning the immature. You can be young and immature, and you can be old and immature. Right? Discretion. Discretion is the opposite of living by impulse. The opposite of, if it feels good, do it. Right? Discretion is the ability to see the big picture. The mature man is able to make wise decisions despite how he feels and what the social trend is. He can cut through all of that to do the right thing. We might talk about the fear of the Lord in verse 7 next week. Just that topic, the fear of the Lord. It is good. Studying it is good. But we'll wrap up 5 and 6 here. A wise man will hear and increase learning. Remember we talked last week about listening. A wise man learns how to be a good listener. Hearing. Jesus often said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Listen. You get into trouble, I mentioned this earlier, when you start thinking you know it all. Proverbs 3:7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Proverbs 9:8-9. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. A wise man will hear and increase learning. I want to learn more. The more I learn, by the way, the more questions I have. It never stops. What are we listening to? Again, we're listening to God's Word. Oh, I put this down. I just skipped over. Check this out. This is amazing. Proverbs 19:27. Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. You stop listening. The moment you stop listening is the moment you begin straying. Proverbs 19:27. What are we listening to? We're listening to the Word. Proverbs 16:20. He who heeds the Word wisely will find good. And whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. It's okay to be happy sometimes, just so you know. It's not a virtue to be depressed all the time. You can be happy. It's okay. It's okay. There is a thing called joy. You can be full of joy. Happy is he. Proverbs 28:9. One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. When a person stops listening, God doesn't really want to hear from him. God is saying, get your act together so that we can talk again. We will start to stray and we will stop listening if we forget that it's God who taught us everything we know. We didn't come up with this because we're so smart. I'm not teaching you because I'm so smart. Okay? Quite the opposite. The only reason I'm standing here is I feel like God wants me to be here, okay? And my goal in life is to seek him and learn and grow. And when you start forgetting that it's God who taught you everything you know, that's when you start to stray. You got to remember, we were fools without him. We were fools without him. And we can never forget that we still have a lot to learn. And like I already said, The more I learn, the more the questions just roll. I know I like answering questions, but I got questions too. Okay, what's next? Attain wise counsel. Again, a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. It's the same idea. You have to make wisdom your personal possession. Make it your goal to learn from God. Verse 6, the purpose of this is to help us understand Proverbs, enigmas, the words of the wise, and their riddles. A proverb, here you go, quick definitions because we got to get out of here. A proverb is a parable compressed. A proverb is a parable in a sentence. I thought that was a good definition. You could take a parable and you could talk about it all day. Or take a proverb, sorry, and talk about it all day. It's meant to be thought-provoking and yet easily memorable. An enigma, that's the second word there, that's satire. This is interesting. Sarcasm. Did you know that God uses sarcasm sometimes to teach? Like a gold ring and a pig snout is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. That's sarcasm, right? To make a point. And you understand it, right? There's a lion in the streets. The proverb says, there's a lion in the streets, so I can't go outside. That's what the lazy man says, right? It's sarcasm to teach a point. That lazy people have excuses. Nothing but excuses. Sarcasm, but we understand it because God gives us wisdom to understand it. The words of the wise. He who walks with the wise will grow wise. Proverbs 13:20. In a multitude of counselors, there is safety. You ever heard the saying that how can you fly with eagles if you hang with the turkeys? How can you fly with eagles if you hang with turkeys? He who walks with the wise grows wise. And riddles. What is a riddle? Difficult speech. Difficult speech. There's a lot of things in the Bible that are difficult to understand. Okay, but as we grow, we gain wisdom, we learn. I'll give you this last thing. This is it. Here's a hard saying for you. John chapter 6. John 6, 53. Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Say, what? Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Excuse me? And the disciples said in verse 60, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? But when God teaches you, it all makes sense. Because Jesus said there, you have to eat his flesh and drink his blood to have what? Eternal life. How do you get eternal life? By trusting Jesus' death and resurrection. And that's why we take communion, to be reminded of his death, his resurrection, his body and his blood. So receiving what he did for you is what gives you eternal life. That's what he means by that. But as he was speaking those hard things to the people, a bunch of people got up and walked away. But those who wanted to learn, they stayed. Peter said, where else are we going to go? You have the words of life. Yeah, so as we grow, those things become clear. Next week, if you want to study, we're only going to talk about verse 7. Okay? The whole hour. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. I'm so thankful, God, that you don't want us to walk in darkness. You want us to walk in the light. You want us to know the truth and be set free. You don't want us to be ignorant or confused, but you want us to have understanding, and I'm so thankful. And I do pray, God, it will be each of our goal to seek wisdom, to learn and grow from you, to understand how to walk this life as a Christian. Thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. Please bless the service about to start. Please bless the service tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all.